Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. This week, we are taking a little journey with a book from Rhonda Scherfen and Sophia Institute Press, Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering, How Our Heroes in Faith Found Peace and Sorrow. And of course, those heroes would be the saints. I love the saints. They're just like your own little personal posse in heaven, kind of praying for us, interceding for us. Just, I think it's such an important part of having like this mystical faith, because think about it, like we're being asked to believe in a God we cannot see and to kind of hope in a place we've never been. And there's no pictures of heaven. I mean, we can draw them all we want, but you know, there's no pictures of heaven. There's no pictures. There's images. Well, there's images of Jesus, which is of course, there's no photographs of Jesus, but people did see him. But really, we're called to believe in something we cannot see, we cannot visit, but we can certainly feel it. I feel it. And I don't know about you, and if you've asked God to reveal himself to you, to help you to grow in faith, because faith is a gift and we have to respond to that gift. Gifts are useless if we don't receive them, open them, and use them. I tell the story about how my sister for Christmas several years ago gave me a Wii Fit. Now, I've always struggled with my weight, and at that point was at an upper number, not a lower number. And I was very insulted when I opened this, especially because my sister is about 4% body fat on a fat day. And she's very athletic. She plays soccer still, even though she's in her mid-40s. She boxed a few years ago, not just like 2 years ago, for charity. And they like really had to call the match because she nearly killed the person. Like, she's just strong and lean and thin and exercises a lot. Me, not so much. And so when I opened this present, I was kind of miffed. I was like, really? Thanks. Like, how dare you tell me I'm fat and that I need to exercise? And I was very angry with her. And even though I received the gift, I certainly didn't, and I unwrapped it, but I didn't open it. It stayed in the cellophane for a long time, and I certainly didn't use it. A few months after receiving it, my mother was talking one day about her diabetes. She had recently been diagnosed with diabetes. And then maybe a day or two after that, I talked to my dad, who is a heart transplant patient. He had his first heart attack at 34, had several heart attacks, easy for me to say, in a non-Massachusetts speak, heart attack, not heart attack. He had several of those, and he eventually, in 2001, had to have a heart transplant. So as I was contemplating these conversations with my parents, that caught the side of my eye, glanced over at the Wii Fit, and suddenly had this great epiphany. My sister could care less whether I weighed 300 pounds or 20 pounds. What my sister was trying to give me was the gift of good health, the gift of not being a diabetic, not having heart disease. Like, these are both very hereditary illnesses. And my sister's heart was in the completely right place. She just wanted me to have this gift of good health. She cared about my insides, not my outsides. And when I think about this gift of faith from God, that all that comes with it, the commandments, the sacraments of going to reconciliation, of being called through the scriptures to live a very countercultural life and to make choices not to gossip and to do good for others and to live out, you know, outwardly instead of inwardly, I realized, like, I just kind of saw that connection, that the gifts that God gives us are useless, just like my sister's We Fit gift. If I don't receive it, then open it, get to know how it works, what it's all about, how I use it, and then actually put it into practice. Like, I can read the box all I want on that We Fit. It ain't going to help my heart get any stronger or my blood sugar or my body process sugar any better. I need to actually put it into practice. I have to use these things. And that's kind of the same thing with our faith. You know, God gives us this great faith and we can learn about it all we want. We could read the scriptures. We can listen to great podcasts like A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras or anything here on Breadbox Media. But it doesn't work until we put it into practice. And it's hard to put it into practice when we don't see it. We don't know for sure that this is the outcome. And that's why I love the saints so much, because I think there are these people who were just like you and I. They ate, they drank, they slept, they went bathroom. They struggled every day in their ordinary everyday because they still had to clean their houses and feed themselves or feed families. We have saints who are parents. We have saints who had to, you know, be in an order and live the community life. There's no easy life. I know sometimes as a married person, when I talk to my friends who are sisters, especially the ones at the Pauline, the Daughters of St. Paul, Pauline Books and Media, I think, oh, these women have it easy. But when I talk to them, I see that living in community has sacrifices. You have to compromise. There's a whole lot of the same issues, the blessings and the difficulties of both religious life, single life, married life. None of them are easy, but all of them are blessed. And when we do it in light of our saints, our holy heroes, our heroes and friends in faith, then there's like this extra grace, this extra blessing. I think they're there with us. I truly feel like, okay, here's a silly example, but to me it's just it shows me how real the saints are. So my son's very, very best friend, last Christmas, actually on Christmas Eve, he hung himself. He asphyxiated himself. And my son Adam, as I've told you before, just knew something was wrong. There was a text that he got, just felt off, and so he went to the friend's house. They found him, they got him down early enough that he was still alive, though he was brain dead. But his family was able to say goodbye. He was able to get last rites, and six people received a Christmas miracle of organ donation that day. And, you know, to me, that's the true Romans 8:28. God promises in Romans 8:28 to make good out of every situation for those who love him. And we certainly, his family, Brett's family, certainly loved God. And all of those praying certainly were asking God to make good, and he did. But it's been a very difficult, as you can imagine, 9 months for Adam and Adam's and Brett's family. Well, Brett's birthday was this week. He would have been 17. It's Tuesday. And I went to Mass for my normal, I go to Mass on Tuesdays to receive communion to bring to the elderly. And it was really by the grace of God that I was there for Brett's Mass to celebrate his birthday. And of course, before I left, I went and said hello to his parents, give them hugs, and just told them they're in my prayers and thoughts. And Brett's mom said, you know, Adam needs to do something kind of inappropriate today to make Brett laugh. She's like, you know, legal, but inappropriate. So I called home to Adam and I said, you really need to do something today to celebrate Brett's birthday. I said, just pray about it. You'll get an idea. Well, my son, who is just so sweet, his idea, he works at Wendy's. His idea was to ask his boss if the workers could all wear birthday hats in honor of Brett for that day. And his boss, God bless that man, thank you, Derek, for saying yes. And they were all able to wear birthday hats. But of course, I had to run to the store and grab them before I went to see my spiritual director. Well, I don't know about you, but we have huge party stores in our area. So I'm going up and down the aisle, and things have changed since the last time I was in a party store. And it's all by theme. Like, all right, all I need is simple, stupid hats that say happy birthday on them. So I'm getting frustrated. I'm running out of time. And I just say kind of almost out loud to Saint Anthony, who is the saint that helps us find stuff. And I said, you know what, Saint Anthony, you need to help me right now find these stupid plain hats that just say happy birthday so I can get to my appointment. Just as I said it, I looked down to the right and there was the package of 24 plain birthday hats. So funny. So that's how real I feel this faith is, because it is. These people were real. They are real. They're in heaven with God and they're there to help us. And if it's as simple as finding a silly birthday hat, or if it's as important as, that was important because we wanted to honor Brett, but you know, as serious, I should say, maybe as helping when you're anxious or sick or a friend is dying or you have a big decision to make and you have no idea where to go with it. When we come back, we're going to pick back up with Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering, How Our Heroes in Faith Found Peace Amid Sorrow. And I realized yesterday that I started to talk about meeting Christ in doubt with Saint Therese of Lisieux and Saint Ignatius of Loyola, but then never went back to it. Welcome to Allison's brain. That's why I started finishing Thought Friday over on ReconciledToYou.com. But I decided we're going to go back to them today and look at the two different doubts we can have. The doubt that God is real and that God is with us, and the doubt of indecision. When we come back after these messages, I'm really excited to bring you Rhonda Scherfin's new book. Well, it's actually from last year, from Sophia Institute Press. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. We're taking a journey this week with Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering, How Our Heroes in Faith Found Peace in Sorrow by Rhonda Scherfin. And Rhonda will be joining me here tomorrow live 10 a.m. Eastern Time on A Seeking Heart, breadboxmedia.com for that live stream link. If you are listening currently on podcast over on breadboxmedia.podbean.com. Two great ways to listen. I hope that you share and help us spread the message here of what we're trying to do at Breadbox Media. We really need your help to tell other people to say, you know, I've been really touched. This is a great way to evangelize too, by the way. If you have somebody you really want to get a message to and you see one of our shows has covered that message, it's so much easier to say to them, hey, you know what? I listened to this show the other day, and though the woman's a little goofy, she had some good points. And you know, if you listen to her, check this out. And, you know, or this is the book she was talking about. It helps us spread the message when you become our partners in spreading that message by sharing links, sharing the podcast, sharing the live stream, or the, you know, if you see on Twitter every morning at just about 9:45 Eastern Time, we tweet out what's going to be on the show. If you reshare that, that's such a great help to us. And if you want to be an even a different help, or I shouldn't say even a better help, because it's not better or worse. We need you to help us spread the message by retweeting, resharing. That is so important for us to hear Breadbox Media. But the other place you can help is being a friend of the show. You go over to breadboxmedia.com. If you click on my show, A Seeking Heart, I give you a kind of a breakdown of what that means to be a premium member of my particular show. You can become a member of any, you can help any show out and for any denomination. But for $10 or more, you become a premium member. And for a Seeking Heart, that means you get a prayer squirrel or a bracelet. You can get extra entries in every giveaway that I do. You can also become part of our once a month Google Hangout, which is the last Wednesday of each month. And there will be exclusive content popping up soon on my Breadbox Media page. So breadboxmedia.com, friend of the show. You also always get extra prayers from me. And again, you don't need to be a friend of the show to get those. You can go over reconciledo.com and click on need a prayer for an anonymous prayer anytime you need one. I'm always happy to pray for you. I think it's one of the greatest gifts the Lord has given us that we can pray for other people. This book here, Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering, on the back, it tells us we're going to learn how you can overcome the pain associated with loneliness and isolation, 5 ways to overcome doubts about the faith, and 4 ways you can turn to Christ in times of temptation, 5 ways you can transform fear into trust in God and Christ, and how you can respond in a holy way to marital discourse, demanding spouses, physical abuse, abandonment, and rage. And we're not going to look at that last one today, but I thought it was important to show you all the different things this book helps us. There's so many different ways that we suffer and we can suffer. Allison just tries to avoid suffering. That's pretty much my MO. But sometimes it's inevitable, and to persevere through it, not to become overly anxious or fearful, as I tend to do. Today is a pretty good day. Perhaps it was sharing with you yesterday and just opening up how anxious I am and how anxious I have been. Maybe it was spending time with my spiritual director. Maybe it was time spending with the Lord yesterday in adoration, or perhaps it was all of the above. And also doing a little detox on my poor liver after I OD'd on the hydrocortisone cream. I read just to drink some lemon water, and that seems to be helping. Obviously, too, not having the medicine for a week and a half is helping, and walking every day, and I'm just feeling more connected, praying the rosary every day. So many different avenues that the Lord provides us to use our faith to strengthen ourselves, especially when we're somebody who is prone to anxiety like I am, to talk to others, to talk to a spiritual director or a priest or a deacon, religious, whoever you have at your disposal, holy friends. We want to go to people who are going to direct us back to God and not lead us down temptation to gossip or to become even more anxious by feeding into those. And I don't think our friends and family do that on purpose. I think that sometimes they're probably struggling with the same things we are, and this is how they deal with it. But there's always prayer. I love doing my prayer walks. We've had beautiful weather. I've been very blessed to get outside every day. I can't even imagine what my neighbors think. Well, my elderly neighbor is almost 90. He kind of told me what he thought. He thinks I look ridiculous. He's like, "What the heck are you doing?" I said, "I'm walking. Why are you walking in circles around your house? You look stupid." All right. I'm okay with that. I don't mind looking stupid for the Lord. I enjoy it. I feel safe. Getting great exercise, dropped a few more pounds, I'm good. And I think it's really helping me with my anxiety as well. So this book is helping me too. I'm really grateful that the Lord brought it this week when I needed it the most, even though I was trying to bring it. I think she was supposed to be here at the beginning of the summer, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was July. God's perfect timing. In this book, Rhonda Scherfen begins in the introduction, suffering in the spirit of the saints. She writes, among saints with certain afflictions, I found a pattern that I in my life could ponder and imitate. For instance, reading of Saint Elizabeth Seton's anguished fear for a teen son's salvation and well-being helped me understand that even saints cannot simply transcend the pain of fear for children by trusting to providence. The pain is to be offered to Christ, not eliminated. Then she talks about reading about the holy stigmata of Saint Francis, which enabled her to overcome the fear of a mastectomy that she was having. And for me, because she had breast cancer, for me, I think about this eczema that has just ravished my hands over the summer. it is painful. Now it's healing, so it's become even more painful. Something as simple as pulling up your pants after you go potty is excruciating. I don't want to use that word excruciating, because that's where it comes from, the crucifixion. And I will never know the pain of the crucifixion, God willing. So I try not to use that word excruciating, but it's super, super painful. And it happens to be also in the same places. Like the main pain is on the palms of both of my hands. And it does look a little bit like the stigmata, though I am very sure it is not. It just gives me a little tiny, tiny foretaste to the pain that our Lord and Savior endured for my sins. So I'm trying to not take the pain and be overwhelmed by it, to be frightened by it, like the one I had in my side, which is, praise God, it wasn't a pain, it was just a pressure, but that seems to be subsiding as well. But to offer it up, to not run from it, but to say, Lord, please use this for something good, either my own remission of sins, because gosh knows I have enough of them, my own penance for the times that I've hurt God, but for those like my son who has nothing right now, he wants nothing to do with God. He's angry for his mental illness. He wants to live a contrary life to how he knows God calls him to live. And so to offer that pain, my own concerns and worries for him, offer that anxiety, offer the physical pain of this eczema as I sit with this ginormous Band-Aid on my palm. And even holding this book is difficult. It's just my skin has become so sensitive. But to offer it, to say, Lord, I accept this cross because I know my crosses could be far greater. There's always a greater cross. So, Lord, I thank you for this one. Obviously, you know, I can't handle much, and I'm good for that. I'm good that you realize I'm weak. But we look at our saints, our friends in Christ, and they help us to see that, not to put aside our own different difficulties and fears and think, oh, they're not a big deal, or God doesn't want them. God wants them all. God wants every single bit of you. Excuse me. One of the things I think is a big cross for many people is this doubt of that God exists, that this dryness, this, you know, you might have this moment where you feel like God is just pouring into your heart every consolation, everything he can that you can believe. You feel such joy and mass is so special, or your prayer just feels so deep. Reading scripture sets your heart on fire. And then there's other times where you're like, knock, knock, God, you there? Like, hello, anyone listening? You just feel so empty and lost, especially if in your time, in a time of need or despair, it's like, God really listening? Does God care? And some of our spiritual giants, on September 22nd, we start our novena to St. Therese of Lisieux. And she had great doubts, especially at the end of her life. And we come back from these messages, we're going to read what she had to say about that meeting Christ at the suffering of doubts. You know, if in the last week, or no, beginning of the month, try that again, a couple weeks ago, Mother Teresa of Calcutta became a saint. And after her death, her spiritual director released all her letters, even though she asked him not to. He felt like it was important that we all see that for 50 years, some say 20, but I think I've been reading more and more that it was 50 years. I have the book. I should just pull it off. Come Be My Light is the book. I should just pull it off the shelf. But even 20, 50 years, and any amount of time, even if it's 2 weeks, it feels like you've been abandoned by God. She felt nothing. But yet she persevered because she knew the truth. She had had those moments, and she held on to those moments that she knew God had been there when she wasn't feeling him. And there's a reason that God removes those consolations from us. When we come back, we're going to look at what St. Therese has to teach us about why God would remove that from us. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Before the break, I was talking about why God might remove that feeling from our hearts, from our lives of his presence. Actually, I was just noticing yesterday as I did my rosary outside for about the seventh day in a row that I hadn't seen any Fidelity trucks. That's one of the signs that the Lord sent me last November when we were in the midst of a very, very difficult time. I think I've even been before November, but during a very difficult time last year financially and with my son and with losing Kevin's dad and just a lot happening, I would go outside and pray. And one day I was praying and my house is on a major highway. It's set back, but I have roads on both sides of my yard. I live on a fork on the road, and then I have a backyard, and then my front yard actually is the driveway goes from one road to the other. So I walk pavement, 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 and then I cross the grass in the backyard. So I was heading across the grass in the backyard, and I was really in a deep place of profound sadness and needed consolation from God. And I said, Lord, I just don't even know what you want from me anymore. Like, I'm trying to be your servant and to be all that you've asked me to be. And I feel like you've abandoned me. Like, I don't get this. What do you want from me? So I turned just as I said that, I turned the corner, and going down the highway was this big truck with the word Fidelity on the side of it, which made me laugh. And I knew it was a sign from God, because God would speak Latin, would he not? And Fidelity means faithfulness. You know, I've lived in this house for 22 years. I've never seen that truck go by ever. Like, it doesn't mean that it didn't go by. I never noticed it. I never noticed it at all. Now I notice trucks and cars, all the different trucks and the sayings all the time. And it makes me laugh. Like the other day, just a really quick aside, I've been in adoration and I've been praying about, I've been reading in the scriptures, I should say, about how God keeps his promises. And that's another sign of fidelity. And I was just, again, then that really bad anxiety stuff that I've been dealing with for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And I got up to the light right before my house, which crosses that big highway. I said, you know what? Right now would be an awesome time for a fidelity truck to go by, God. That would really, you know, help to know that you and I just had a moment there in adoration. The Fidelity truck did not go by, but another truck went by with the words, helping keep promises. America, I think the whole thing was helping America keep promises, but it was the keep promises that just jumped off the truck and made me laugh. I was like, all right, Lord, thank you for listening. So God does talk in many, many different ways. And we need to keep our eyes peeled for those moments where God is speaking to us in the world that we are in. I truly believe that he talks through trucks. He talks through other people. He talks through our priests during their homilies. Sometimes I think he's been in the car on the way to church with me, or my house is bugged, or my brain is bugged. It's so weird. I believe that he talks through signs in nature, through butterflies, through roses. I believe that the Lord has given us all of these wonderful things in our world, and that why would that be beyond him to use those to show us? Now, there's a difference, though, between God sending us a message and us testing God. Say, I'll do this, Lord, if you send me a butterfly. That's not how it works. That's not how I use signs at all. And I'm not even often looking for them. It'll be one of those moments, like the Fidelity truck. I wasn't looking that day. I was just asking a question. And I was going to say that I haven't seen them in a long time. And I was like, oh, did the company go out of business? Like, where's God been with my Fidelity trucks? I need them. And then this morning I saw the one. And it's funny because they come just as I'm having a certain thought about something. There's the Fidelity truck. So it's like, that's the answer. And you have to be careful. You have to be very, very, very careful with science. We're going to look at that too in today's book, Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering by Rhonda Scherfen. There's also a point in there where St. Francis, she's sharing St. Francis is trying to discern God's will and what God wanted from her, from him. And he made mistakes at it. So there's a point where we need to be careful how we discern things and really, you know, not so over scrupulous that we don't do anything. Like, is that God? Is that not God? Is this from you? Is this not from you? But to be aware, you know, that we just can't tempt God. We can't say, all right, well, I'll do this, Lord. I'll send the money, you know, into the church if you send me a butterfly. That doesn't work that way. But he certainly does send them. So, but why does he remove those consolations? Why did he make Mother Teresa for 50 years not feel anything? Let's first remember, though, before he removed himself, he gave her an awful lot of incredible experiences that would leave no doubt in her brain, when in her heart and her soul and her mind, when she contemplated things of God. She had moments of ecstasy, these moments where she was like transcends this world to spend time with God. Like, he just gave her unbelievable experiences of faith before he removed himself. And those are the ones that we need to go to. And I was thinking about, you know, from a parent's perspective, there's a moment where I need to take my hand off my daughter's bike once the training wheels are gone. Like, she has training wheels and we're there, we support her, we teach her, we show her that she can do it. And then we take off the training wheels and then we still hold on to it and we still teach her how to do it and support her. But at some point, in order for her to ride that bike, I need to let go, whether I want to or not. And it's not one, by the way, it's not gone well for Faithy. Poor thing. She's 10 and she still hasn't figured out the bike thing. She just lacks, I think, the faith in herself, the trust to let herself balance. But she also, of course, has that, when we adopted her at 4 years old, she hadn't really even spent a whole lot of time walking. She's still, you know, so she, anyway, there's challenges there. But for the most part, this works. You let go of the bike. Once you've given them all the skills and the confidence they need, and they go. The other is, you know, when they're a toddler and you're holding their finger, eventually, in order for them to walk, you need to let go. But there's that part of their mind that remembers, Mom is right behind me, or, you know, Mom thinks I can do it. Certainly I could do it. So I think that to me is how I see this with God, that eventually, in order for us to truly be using our faith, that gift that he gives us, we have to let go. We have to let go of the finger. We have to let go of the bike. We have to let go of our need for God to send us constant consolation and joy. And, well, not joy, because he's always sending us joy, but those signs and wonders. Eventually, we need to have faith and trust, just because we know he has been there in the past and he hasn't gone anywhere. And his word tells us that, I will not forsake you nor abandon you. And the words in the scriptures aren't there lightly, and they're not false. He is there. So here we have St. Thérèse of Lisieux, who was endured doubts, Rhonda Scherfen writes in her book here, Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering, from Sophia Institute Press. Thérèse endured doubts of a critically painful kind. She writes, if you only knew what frightful thoughts obsess me, pray very much for me in order that I do not listen to the devil, who wants to persuade me about so many lies. It's the reasoning of the worst materialists which is imposed on my mind. Finally, I offer up these very great pains to obtain the light of faith for poor unbelievers, for all those who separate themselves from the church's beliefs. Rhonda goes on to say, faced with a sense of uncertainty about something so fundamental as the existence of God, Thérèse would write in her journal, it's very true that I don't see a thing, but I must sing very strongly in my heart. After death, life is immortal, or without this, things would turn out badly. Down here at the side of the chestnut trees, do you see that black hole wherein nothing is distinguishable? Well, I am in a place like that as regards both body and soul, in yes, what darkness. But I dwell there in peace. Dwell there in peace. And the only way to just transcend this, is to get through it, is to persevere. And that's easy for me to say. But no, I don't say it from a place other than I've been there. Therese transcended her own state of mind and her own feelings. She knew what was true and real, whether or not she felt it, understood, or experienced it. The sun was in the sky, even if she was blinded. She had seen the radiant light. She knew she had seen it. And even if she no longer knew it, it had vanished to such remote spaces, she still knew that she had known it once. And that would have been enough to satisfy her. And so she wrote and prayed as if nothing had happened, as if her whole inner world had not been buried by an earthquake. And I think that's the lesson for us, really, truly it is, just to persevere. You know, St. Gregory the Great wrote, "The disbelief of Thomas, the doubting apostle, has done more for our faith than the faith of the other disciples. As he touched Christ and," "as he touches Christ and is won over to belief, every doubt is cast aside and our faith is strengthened." Now, here is somebody who saw Christ, who dined with him, who walked with him, who was taught by him, and he still doubted the resurrection. "Blessed are they," Jesus says, "who has not seen and yet still believes." That is you and I. We have not seen, yet we still believe. We are blessed. And one of my favorite lines from Scripture is, "Blessed is she who believes what will be, what has been promised will be." Okay, that's the Allison abridged version. But basically, blessed are we who do not see, yet believe. Blessed are us who have believed the promises of God and wait upon them. We come back, we'll read more of Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. This week we've been looking at the book Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering, How Our Heroes in Faith Found Peace in Sorrow. This is out from Sophia Institute Press, and the author is Rhonda Scherfen. And Rhonda will be my guest here tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, September 16th. You can get the live link if you're listening on podcast over at breadboxmedia.com. And while you're there, please check out Friend of the Show. If you go and actually go to my link about my show, A Seeking Heart, I give you information on how you can become a premium member and what that means to you. And it means a whole lot to me. And you can always count on my extra prayers if you are become a premium member. But you do not have to become a friend of the show to get my prayers. You go to reconciledtoyou.com, click on Need Prayer Anytime, and I will bring your requests before the Lord, either in adoration or during my rosary or right on the spot, if that's what it's needed. We're going to look now at St. Ignatius of Loyola, a saint for those facing indecision. St. Ignatius, Rhonda writes, was the youngest son in a noble family of 13 children in Spain. He fought as a captain in the War of 1521, and then he was injured. It's his famous story. If you haven't read it, I just go Google it. It's pretty remarkable. So out of sheer boredom, during his convalescence after he had the injury to his leg, there were no novels around about chivalry. such as Ignatius liked to read. So I believe I read someplace where he actually was reading romance novels, but they're a little different back then. They weren't Harlequin, but he wanted something different to read. So he chose to read The Life of Saints. And one of the books he read was actually The Life of Christ. And out of, so he included The Lives of Saints and The Life of Christ out of sheer boredom. That's what I just said. Sorry, I'm trying to read and summarize, and I'm not doing a very good job. Yes, I know, you've noticed. It made me laugh because Sarah Reinhardt was just talking on Monday that she had just finished reading Fulton Sheen's Life of Christ. Not the same book, but definitely the same life. During the inspirations that came with this readings, he made his first big decision to try to be a saint. We're all called to be saints. I think that is really one of the most exciting inspirations I received or information I received when I reverted back to the faith 10 years ago, that I was called to be a saint. I thought that only nuns and priests and really, really, really boring holy people became saints, but that every single human being is called by God to be a saint, and you can be one, and you don't have to be boring. And quite honestly, once I finally started reading about the lives of saints and not just what I thought their lives were like, none of them had a boring life. The idea, Rhonda writes, so sudden and unexpected, vied with his former images of worldly glory as he wavered between these possibilities, began to notice something about the choices. He observed that the ideas of sanctity were not merely good thoughts because they were conformity with the law of religion, but that they fortified his soul, consoled it, and so to say, filled it with solid food. I love that. Whilst the ideas of the worldly glory, though apparently agreeable during the time of his indulging in them, left his soul on their departure empty and unsatisfied. This is from Henri Joly's book about Saint Ignatius of Loyola. By this sign, Henri continues, he was in the future able to distinguish what came to him from the good spirit, from God or from his angels, and what came from the bad spirit. By this means, according to the testimony of those who gathered together the recollections of Ignatius, he definitely established the theory of discernment of spirit, which was brought to perfection through his spiritual exercises. Again, if you've never heard of the spiritual exercises of Saint Ignatius of Loyola, Google them. There are, we've covered them a little bit here in different shows. Maybe I can find the links to some of those. There is Father Gallagher, I think it's Ed Gallagher, has done a whole series of awesome books on discernment of, just discernment of God in your life. And I'll put the link for those and his full name. I know it's Timothy Gallagher. Let's go with that. We'll make sure that gets up there. Some Christians, Rhonda continues on her book, again, Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering, imagine that once a person makes a total commitment to Jesus, there is no future possibility of error about God's intentions. Yes. I'm one of those people who made that assumption and was wrong. For example, although Ignatius was quite a decisive person, always eager to set out to do whatever seemed good to him, we can see that many of these decisions were not consistent with the destiny that God eventually revealed to him as his vocation. He tried to try different things. One of them was he tried this practice of severe penance, there you go, that ruined his stomach. And then he tried various attempts to try to convert people. That didn't work. His false discernments was in Ignatius's own life, Rhonda reminds us, should warn us not to imagine that we are being given some sort of infallible guide. The ideas of Ignatius about decision-making are most helpful, but complete certainty about choices discerning, you know, between the various good possibilities is not possible on Earth. And I think that's really important to understand. It's easy when it's like, okay, that's a good choice and that's a bad choice. Let's go with the good choice. But it's hard when it's between a multiple of goods. Several years ago, when I first started to feel this call into ministry, I was also at the same time being prepped to become a college professor for early childhood educators. I had been invited to a very prestigious program, and the invitations don't come lightly. And once you've been through the program, you get one chance, one, at accepting a position. And if you don't take it, you don't get another choice. And that was during the summer, 2007 or 8, that I had finished the training, and at the same time was feeling this call to offer a Bible study at the church based on purpose-driven life. And I had gotten up the courage to ask my pastor, and he just miraculously allowed me to do it. It was, you know, purpose-driven life isn't a Catholic book. It is ecumenical. It includes every faith. But for him to allow it in the Catholic Church was huge, especially because him and I didn't always have the best relationship. But after he said yes and I started to promote it, I got the call to do the course. And I remember falling to my knees in my bedroom crying, like, Lord, this isn't fair. Like, I want to do both. Can't I do both? They're both so good. My family needs the money. I want this career, but yet I feel you're calling me in a different direction. And I didn't know which way to go. And in the end, I went with teaching the summer program at the church. I did the purpose-driven summer, and I started Reconciled to You Ministry shortly after. But I've always, you know, it was hard. Like, I always wonder, because Reconciled to You Ministries, in this book, she actually talks about meeting Christ in your failures, the suffering of failing and feeling like you have, you know, made an error in your choices and your decisions. And one of these that's happened with one of these things that's happened for me with the ministry is I don't always feel like I'm a great success at it. I feel like the God called me to do certain things along the way, and I really felt like I haven't either followed it directly or heard him correctly. Like, I really felt completely called to do this app, the Words with Jesus app. And I wrote it, and I spent lots of money to produce it, and I was sure God was telling me this is what he wanted. It was a flop. I lost so much money. I put my family in such a horrible position. One of the things that Rhonda talks about, and it's good godly advice, is that you should bring these. One of the ways you can discern, and this is Ignatius as well, is to bring it to another person. And I didn't. I didn't share it with anyone. I didn't ask my husband the idea. I didn't go to my spiritual director with the idea. I just was so sure God was calling me to it. So there's different things that we can do in discernment that, you know, we need to be aware of. Bring it to another person. Pray about it. Yes. Bring it to adoration. Yes. But bring it to a good godly source, a friend, your spouse, your spiritual director, and really make sure that you thoroughly, you know, bring it, all of it out to discern whether this is of God or not of God. And there's going to be times where you make a mistake, which is why I love Romans 8:28 so much, because I see that God has made good. And as my spiritual director said, you have no idea if it wasn't really was God's purpose to bring it forward, and that his success was different than your success. There might have been something that happened with that, or I'd learned from that I wouldn't have learned any other way. So many great things. I think I'm going to look through my pile of books, and we're going to do a book on discernment. I'm going to make a note right now. Tomorrow, I will be joined by the author, Rhonda Scherfen. She, again, will be looking at her book, Avoiding Bitterness and Suffering, How Our Heroes in Faith Found Peace Amid Sorrow, out now from Sophia Institute Press. I think this week has been very fruitful for me. I hope it has been for you as we discern God's call in our life, and how even in the midst of suffering, he is there. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingrich here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.